sort of, well, we're not sort of, we're all rooting for you. And know you'll be right as rain sooner rather than later. Thanks to the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch. Starting in 2002 with the initiation of the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org, Ben single-handedly saved liberal talk in the United States, eventually making it possible for the horn to happen. That's why we use that phrase for Ben. His work is also tireless and patient. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. They are indeed the bravest, hardest-working people I know. And when you realize what we have to deal with here in West Virginia, you know why it is that I say such a thing. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Are you there, Betsy? Okay, so Betsy, so she's got to catch up. Benafsha has to catch up with the marchers. And you've been listening to the comments of Benafsha Madnijad, not the same name, stop it, Benafsha Madnijad on at the University of Texas in Austin, and a massive rally in support of democracy in Iran.
America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. And good afternoon. Welcome to the Guy James Show. Thanks for joining us today. Ah, yes. Thanks for joining us. Good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I am looking forward to this show today. Don't know what the heck's the matter with my headphones here lately. Huh? I guess I'll get it worked out. Anyway, I don't like to... It's one of those deals where it's all or nothing. You ever have one of those deals? Once again, the entire staff is off today, so we'll go it alone here. Yes, we will. Hey, thanks for joining us on the Guy James Show, coming to you from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area. We are glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. And we have a good show lined up for you today. We're going to have, hopefully at the bottom of this hour, we're going to have our Michelle and Al moment from Minnesota, from the Minnesota Independent. You remember Chris was on a couple weeks ago, and we talked about Michelle Bachmann. Of course, there's more news about her and possibly something coming out of the Supreme Court in Minnesota today. There was a rumor that they might decide today about this whole thing, and we might have a new United States Senator. Hell, we do anyway. I don't know what's wrong with people over this. It just seems strange to me. What's his name? Coleman. His office is up for rent. You know, if he thought he had a chance in hell, he wouldn't have the office. They wouldn't have the office up for rent. He's let the lease expire on it. So, you know, who knows? A lot of news today, and I won't bore you with a lot of news that you've already seen today, but I've got a bone to pick with the news channels, MSNBC and CNN. I don't watch Fox hardly ever. Once in a while, I run over there for 2 seconds to see if something particular, somebody's warned me about something O'Reilly's going to do or something, or Beck. But really, I stay away from there, and I know most of you do as well. But have you noticed how crazy they get? The national news is getting just about as bad as the locals, and you know how the locals were and still are. If it bleeds, it leads. Whatever story, you know, the best gore, the best sensationalism, whatever, that's gonna lead. And the national news is getting to be like that as well. And today we had this airplane deal of Continental Airlines, was it? We had a pilot die. God rest his soul. I'm sorry the pilot died. But they went on and on for an hour and a half about it. What are we going to do? How's that plane going to land? And it just went on and on and on. I just thought, you know, come on, let's move on here. Pilot died. We're sorry he died. You know, who's going to land that plane? Well, you know, from the get-go, they should have known that on these long flights, there's a cockpit crew of three. And always, always, at least two of them are certified, and usually three. So that plane was in no more danger than it was at any other time, and yet the national news comes on breathless. Oh. And it would have been fine to come on and say, we have unfortunate news that a pilot died aboard the captain of the Continental Airline coming from Brussels, I believe it was, to Newark. Would have been fine to come on and say that. But oh no. They had to make a big story out of it. I get tired of them doing that. I really do. I mean, we have Palin and Dave Letterman for a whole week. We had a comedian making some unkind remarks about another comedian. I'm not going to call her a slut. Like, well, Dave didn't really call her a slut. He said something about a slutty look, and I agree with him on those shoes. If you saw those shoes, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. But he didn't call her a slut, neither did I. He said that slutty look. I don't know. But there's been a whole week on that. It's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This is just whoa, what big news is it? It wasn't any kind of news at all, really. And what was it, a couple of 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago almost, the swine flu thing. I was away, and I remember the day I got home, the local news came on in a bulletin and said, flash, news flash, there's been a confirmed case of swine flu in Lee County, Florida. I thought, oh, my God. After all I'd heard about what New York and other places, I thought, you know, I'm dead. I'm dead. The pig flu is going to get me. And now I don't know. I think that recently they said there's 20, 30 cases here or something. There'd be places, you know, all over the country, and it's not the monstrous killer. And although some people have died from it, as they do other flu epidemics or pandemics or whatever you want to call this. And I'm sorry, but don't pump this out of proportion. They have a way of doing that, and I just get. Give us more meat in the news and little bit less of sensationalism. Do you feel that way as well? I know I do. I did want to mention today. What was I? Oh, I just hit the wrong button again. I'll tell you what. When the staff is not here, it's dangerous for me to start pushing buttons. I'll tell you that right now. It is. There, I did it again. All right, well, anyway, sooner or later I'll find what it is I wanted here. I wanted to tell you about something, and I have completely lost it, of course. Can't even find it. Let me click another box here. Well, the wonderful world of computers. Let me drop this out here and start over again, I guess. Not exactly what I wanted. Well, I'm not getting anywhere. Anyway, let's go ahead here, and if I had a staff, they would be looking at this, I'm sure. Hillary Clinton fell and fractured her elbow, and I know that's not big news, but our best wishes to Hillary, and I guess she may have surgery on it, and I hope she gets well soon. It takes a little while for to recover from that. And I certainly hope she does. That's kind of rough. We went through that here at the Guy James Show homestead down the road here recently, and it wasn't fun. It certainly wasn't fun. What else did we have here today? Oh, John Ensign. Poor guy. Senator John Ensign, now let me say that I don't care what you do in your private life. I really don't. But when the president or another senator is exposed to have a problem, shut your mouth. And you stop to think about all the Republican outrage over the years. I mean, we had, you remember back during the impeachment, we had Henry Hyde, and what a hypocrite he turned out to be. We had Dan Burton. And Gingrich, they're all going ballistic over Bill Clinton's personal problem, all the while they either had or were still doing the same thing. Same thing with Ensign. He climbed all over Clinton. He called for his resignation, said he had no credibility left. And that's when poor Larry Craig got caught with his pants down. Really, with his pants down. And Ensign went for his throat. It's the hypocrisy, you idiot. That's what it is. I don't care what you do. I mean, I'd rather not know, but I mean, I don't care what you do. So, anyway, I thought, well, I need to find out what's going on in the John Ensign senatorial offices. And I decided to do that today. So I made a few calls, and here are some calls I made to John Ensign's office, okay? And they'll explain themselves. I mean, can he possibly stay in office? Well, that's the wrong one. You suppose we could get to... Something's happening to my computer. Here we go.
Senator Ensign's office, this is Chris.
I'm sorry, your name again?
Chris.
This is Guy James from the Guy James Show. We have information that the senator is going to resign today. Is that the case?
I have no comment.
No comment.
Thank you for calling.
He must have some comment.
Brandon's office?
Yes, is this Chris again?
Yes, it is.
Why did you hang up on me?
Sir, I'm sorry, I have no comment and I can't say anything.
There must be somebody in the office that has comment.
No, there's no one that has a comment. I apologize.
You can't just shut yourself off from the public. You're public people.
Yes, but we have no comment to say. So you can refer to our website and any press releases.
I don't want to refer to a website. I want to talk to somebody who will at least comment yes or no.
He stated yes on Tuesday that he's not resigning, and that's what we're still saying now.
Wouldn't that make him the world's worst hypocrite?
Thank you, but I have no comment. Thank you for calling.
No, you can't hang up on your public like this. I mean, can he possibly stay in office after being so hypocritical? He said that the former president lost his credibility when he had an affair, and he led the charge against Senator Craig to resign, and now he won't comment or he won't resign. What's up with this? Do you have any comment on it at all?
No, I don't, sir.
Why would, I mean, this is a public elected official. Why wouldn't he have somebody give a comment on this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're paying his salary. We're paying your salary.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody must have a comment. Is he a hypocrite or not? Is he going to resign? Do you know whether he's going to resign or not?
I do not know.
Do you think he should?
I don't have a comment, sir.
I mean, he's a member of Promise Keepers, and I mean, it's a terrible situation. It makes the constituency just feel terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That we put such an unethical man in the United States Senate, and now he won't come out and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
After condemning others. It just makes him a terrible... How can you work for such a man? Does that make you proud? Does it? Does it make you proud that the man you work for has done this sort of thing?
No, sir, it doesn't.
I should think not. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you. What?
Senator Vincent's office, is Christy, may I help you?
Yes, this is Guy James calling from the Guy James Show, and we had information that the senator is going to resign today. Is that the case, and is there a comment on it yet?
No, I'm not aware of it. I will pass you on to our press secretary, Sari Mann.
Right.
You can leave a message for her, okay?
No, I don't want to leave a message. Does it not embarrass you that this whole thing has happened?
No comment, sir.
No comment. Aren't you paid by the public?
Sir, I'll pass you on to
I don't want a press secretary. I want to find out what the truth is here. Does it make you the biggest hypocrite in the world? I guess nobody wants to talk. I guess the answering machine doesn't even want it.
Hi, you've reached Sari Mann, Nevada Press Secretary for Senator John Ensign. I can't answer your call right now. Please leave a detailed message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or you can try me on my cell phone at 702-493-2416. Thank you.
Well, we'll just leave a message. I think it's a disgrace that the senator will not resign. He's probably the biggest hypocrite we've seen in the United States Senate for some time now, condemning former President Clinton for his picadillos and practically forcing Senator Craig to resign, although he did not, and a member of Promise Keepers and outspoken critic of gays and lesbians and what they're doing to the marriage institution of marriage, and now this man makes a sham of the institution of marriage himself. Is he not the world's biggest hypocrite, and should he not resign? Those are my feelings, that's my message, and I would hope the senator would take my advice and the advice of many others and resign from the office. Well, you know, I had to go on and say something. I'm bad. I know it. But just to show you how bad I really am, let me see here. You know what I'm going to do. me see here. Yeah. And a couple more. Let's see what happens here. I'm a naughty boy.
Good afternoon, Senator John Ensign's office. How may I help you?
Yes, is this Chris?
Yes, it is.
Chris, this is Guy James from the Guy James Show. We're hearing once again that the senator may resign this afternoon. Do you have any news on that yet? Can you connect me with somebody that might comment one way or another?
Will you hold on one moment, please?
Sure. We're on hold. We may get somebody to comment.
Thank you for holding. How may I help you?
Yes, we have information once again that Senator Ensign is going to resign this afternoon. Can you give us any clues to whether or not that's true?
That he's going to resign?
Yes.
He has not said that he he plans to resign.
He hasn't said that, but the rumor's out all over Capitol Hill that he's going to this afternoon. You haven't heard anything?
No.
Okay. No one there's packing boxes and getting ready to leave or anything.
No. And where are you calling from?
Calling from Fort Myers, Florida.
No. I am not aware that he's going to.
I was in Las Vegas yesterday, but I'm in Fort Myers today. I just wanted to find out because we keep hearing that reoccurring all over the Hill this afternoon. We've had seven or eight people now give us, sources that have said that the senator's going to resign, as well he should. He's pushed everybody else to resign when they're in this situation, but you don't think he's going to then?
I don't know, but, okay. I mean, he said before that he does not plan to resign.
It must be pretty hectic there in the office today. And yesterday, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can imagine. I wouldn't want to be you right now, I guess, taking calls from people like me. Well, thank you. You've been very kind, and if you you hear anything, why, you let us know.
Okay, I'll call Florida.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm a naughty boy. I I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I really can't. But the guy, because of his hypocrisy, like I said, with the rest of it, I don't care. I do not care what he does. I'm not going to cut him down for that whatsoever. Hell, half the people in America would have to resign from their jobs if they got caught for that. Okay? Let me just make that clear. He shouldn't have got caught, but he did. did you see the houses that his staffer and the wife were living in, a $1.6 million mansion in Las Vegas? How in the world do staffers afford a place like that? Wow. I don't know how in the world they afforded a house like that, $1.6 million. And they say that, they're saying now that that's where this extortion plot came from. He said that they've kind of forced him out with this because of they ask him for a large sum of money. Oh, poor me. Oh, poor me. They ask me for a lot of money. I have sinned. I have sinned. Oh, no, that was Jimmy Swaggart. I forgot. Yeah. And by the way, you too can call and find out your own information. The number for Senator John Ensign's office, and it's a public number, so it's readily available, but it's 202-224-6244. Once again, that number for Senator John Ensign's office is 202-224-6244. And if you'd like to call and find out if he's going to resign or if he's still being a naughty boy or whatever, why, give him a call there, and they'll be glad to talk to you, too. I'm a no good. Yeah. There you go. Yellow's got it posted. 202-224-6244. And we're expecting a call from our Minnesota Bureau, from the Minnesota Independent pretty soon. We're going to talk about the Michelle and Al saga that's taking place in Minnesota. Maybe as we speak, I don't know. Michelle can't keep her trap shut. She told us yesterday she's going to be a lawbreaker. yes. I'll ask you to leave our phones open here for just a moment or two. We're going to get a good call from our Minnesota Bureau, so phones aren't working. You know, I tell you what, when I let the staff off for a long weekend, things go completely to hell in a handbasket around here. They do. Normally, the engineers would be working on the sound problem I have today, and the writers would be churning out things for me to talk about, and wait a minute, that's somebody else's story. Somebody else's show. Yeah, okay. I forgot. Other people have writers and engineers and producers and directors and all that sort of thing. In a little while, after we have our Minnesota Bureau on, oh, Lauder J, I'm so sorry. On the chat room, by the way, you folks listening on a venue other than the Head On Radio Network or my site, there's a chat room at the Head On Radio Network. You really need to sign up for it because it's great. And I was just reminded I didn't ask the senator and his office if it was safe sex. Ah, what could I have been thinking? I don't know. And Johnny O, and I do have that clip around here of Larry Craig, almost said Larry Flint, that clip of Larry Craig saying Clinton was a naughty, naughty, bad, bad boy. I've got it around here, but the way things are going this afternoon, I better not start hunting for it. I'll throw the whole thing off here somehow. And my other phone's ringing. I tell you what, we've just got crazy things going on here, and I recognize this number, but I... Do you hear that? You hear my other phone ringing? I forgot to shut it off today. Now, well, we'll get to it a little later. they say they'd rather hear from Larry. Okay. It was safe sex. He slid into... Oh, Johnny, oh, you are a bad... You know, this is a bad show today. You people are really bad. I didn't mention the safe sex thing. I didn't. Johnny O makes a comment that my face is red. oh, well, you guys are keeping me entertained today. I'll tell you what, I'll just sit back and watch the chat room today, and you guys go for it. Just go for it. I'll be happy to sit here and be entertained by you today. We do have a lot to talk about, and as you can tell, I'm kind of, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to a tune here for a moment. And we'll wait on our call, all right? Let's do it that way. Or is that coming in now? No, we'll wait just a second.
She wrote a long letter, one short piece of paper.
Well, hello. We must have Chris along.
Hello.
Is this Chris?
This is.
From the frozen...
Sorry, I thought you were calling me.
Oh, well, I thought you were calling me.
I got confused.
Chris, we have to get... We have to have an understanding here. We're on live right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, go ahead and apologize. Chris, apologize to the audience. Go ahead.
I apologize to our national, international audience.
All right.
Any aliens listening beyond our solar system?
Can you say it in Korean? We've got a few Koreans listening as well. I'll take care of the Spanish. Chris, I'm in a mood today. Welcome to the show. We've got Chris from the Minnesota Independent on with us. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Glad to be back.
Our far north correspondent, our Minnesota correspondent from Minnesota Independent, is it not?
That's right. Minnesota Independent is the name of our website. It's a news website. All things Minnesota and politics. So, Michelle Bachmann land, Tim Pawlenty, Al Franken.
And Chris and I are going to come up with a tune for this segment. We're going to do this once a week. Have you come up with a good idea yet, Chris, for the interview?
I was, going all the way back to some, I don't even know what you use for tunes, but, I was going to choose something from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it could be going all the way back to some classic Prince from the early 80s to something real current, there's some current bands that...
just so it's good Minnesotan music to introduce.
Yeah, that's it. And we need about 8 seconds of it, right?
Something that'd be popular up around Duluth or somewhere, around...
Got it. Oh, okay. Now I know where we're going.
Up in Iron Ore country,
Yep.
Well, Chris, I know our belle, Michelle, has been on the news in the last couple of days. She usually makes it every couple of days, What's going on with her right now? You want to explain this whole deal, why she's opened her trap again and stuck her foot in her mouth again?
Yeah, the very latest thing was something that came out in the Washington Times newspaper. It had to do with she's not inclined to fill out her census form next year, she said. She only wanted to put down only the number of people in her household.
No.
Not even name, rank, and serial number, yeah.
You don't say.
And her objection is she's afraid that Acorn is going to get some of the...
Oh, my God, not Acorn.
Yeah, she thinks they're going to get the money to do some of the census work, and she doesn't want her data going into Acorn, yeah.
Oh, no.
I would actually like to know how many people are in her household, because I know she's had an extraordinary number of children, because I think... she and her husband have had foster children. So sometimes you'll hear her say, I forget, it's in the range of 20 kids, and some of them are hers. And some of them have been through her household as foster children. So even that number would be interesting, but it's actually a law that you're supposed to fill out your form, what the Census Bureau asks you for on that form, more than just the number of people.
Well, the United surely.
Well, she'd be breaking the law.
Certainly, there must be a mistake, because surely a United States senator would not willfully break the law.
I don't know if she realized that when she said it, but
I don't know
right.
if she realizes much.
So that's been the latest thing. We're all swept up today because there's been rumors flying around that we're going to get a ruling from the Minnesota Supreme Court. In Al Franken's election contest, or I should say Norm Coleman's election contest, he's the one that's contesting it. We've had, three levels of government, I guess you could say, saying that Franken won. The recount said that, the state canvassing board confirmed that, and the lower court, which is a special election contest court back in April, I think, said, yep, Al won by 312 votes. And then Norm Coleman appealed back to the Minnesota Supreme Court. They argued it in front of the justices on June 1st, and they've just had it in their lap since then. And there were rumors flying around yesterday that today would be the day.
All right. Now, I have to. Where are you right now?
I'm sitting at home in Minneapolis.
Wait a minute. Where's the Minnesota Supreme Court building at?
Well, they're in St. Paul, but it wouldn't do me any good to hang out there in the hallways.
Why?
They issue it online. They're going to post it. That's where you find out.
Go down to Marshall's office. Knock on the door. Tell him I sent you. I know the guy. I'm a former Ohioan, you know, and he's from Ohio. He played for the Ohio State Buckeyes. I mean, forget those Minnesota, whatever that team is up there. But he played for the Ohio State Buckeyes in college, you know.
Paige, you're getting your Paige, you know, he's a good friend
of mine, obviously. I forgot his name.
Oh, okay. I'll next time I see him jogging, every now and then I see him.
Oh, yeah. You tell him guys said hello, you know, old Buckeye friend, Woody Hayes and all that.
All right. Yeah, he's the one guy on that court that got elected. You know, he went to the voters, he had a well-known name. You know, he'd gone to law school, I think, even while he was a football player, he was going to law school.
Well,
and he got himself elected, and he's stayed in office, yeah.
Yeah, well,
on the bench, I should say.
I don't know why he didn't move back to Ohio, but, you know.
Well, he found a pretty good job here, and he because there's seven on the court, and two of them were on that earlier canvassing board, and they recused themselves. So he actually has been kind of functioning as the chief of the five remaining.
Oh.
He very well have his name may be the one on the on the opinion. They released some other opinions today that weren't about this, and they were signed by him, so
I didn't know he had that, like, you mean like the swing vote in this whole thing?
Well, he may be sort of acting as the chief, because the chief had to recuse himself.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be the swing vote or not. He did have some pretty strong opinions when this first came, you know, an issue related to this came before them in December. He had a dissenting opinion. He felt pretty strongly about the way the recount should proceed. So he may very well, you know, be a strong force in the arguments that they're having.
Well, do you think he's going to go for Al?
Well,
look, I can call him.
Why did you tell me?
I'll call Al. It's Al and Guy, but, you know, I can call him. And, you know, for,
right.
I might be able to, you know, I never thought about this before today, Chris, until you mentioned it right now. I, Guy James, could influence Al Franken making it to the United States Senate and him being the 60th, and I could be responsible for all these bills getting passed.
How long have we been doing this, Guy, and you just thought of that?
Well, just the second time I forgot about Alan Page. Jeez.
That's right. No, I think he's the guy. Yeah, even if some of them are Republicans, in fact, there's probably a predominance of Republicans on the court. But there's one guy who did not recuse himself. He even gave Norm money just before he got on the Supreme Court. He gave Norm money in this election cycle. You know, he did not recuse himself. But you got these five, and I don't know. The general feeling is it's going to go Al's way.
Well,
probably.
It better.
And if it's unanimous and well worded, it may be discouraging enough. Norm won't take that step of appealing it to the federal courts, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Now I saw a sign outside of Norm's office that said for rent.
Yeah. And there's an exodus of staffers to get another job. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of confidence in that camp.
Okay.
But, you know, he's raised a lot of money. This has cost a lot of money. And he's even had to pay some of Al Franken's costs, the way the thing is structured here in this state. If you lose with your appeal, you're supposed to cover some of the other guy's costs.
Yeah, wasn't it like $95,000 or something?
You're right. It was not a small amount, yeah.
No.
In fact, He told one reporter, he Norm Coleman did, that he thought it was a good sign that the justices were taking their time, that if come back fast, it probably would have gone Al's way. He was feeling good. But the more time it takes, the more he owes Al. Actually, I think I read he maybe owes him $83 more since last week.
$83 more. That's nothing to Norm Coleman, former mayor, former Democrat, I might add. Am I right?
You're right.
Yeah.
He switched parties in the mid-90s. He had Jack Kemp in his living room, and they had a little ceremony, and he switched parties. And he tried to be governor in 1998, but he lost to Jesse Ventura.
Now, there's a badge of honor right there.
Third-party candidate, yeah.
You guys are really sometimes get really whacked out up in Minnesota, evidently. I don't mean you personally, but, you know, we had Jesse. I kind of liked that whole deal when Jesse was in there. It was different, you have to admit.
Yeah, and he's really won a lot of fans with some of his recent statements on torture and so forth.
What was the one he made when you give me a waterboard and Dick Cheney or whatever it is, and I'll convince you? I forget.
It was the Charles Manson murders.
Yeah,
Sharon Tate. Yeah, he said he'd get him to confess to what Charles Manson did.
I believe Jesse on that too. I do. Well,
maybe he knows something.
Well, Chris, this is great today. Now, listen. You have to promise me one thing. If you get a bulletin there, or if Justice Page calls
you back?
Well, yeah. If you find out that Al's won this thing, or if Justice Page calls you, because I'm going to call him now, and I'll give him your number, just give me a call and let me know.
I will do that.
All right.
Chris will be today.
We got Chris from the Minnesota. Chris, what's your last name again?
It's Stellar, like
Stellar.
Stars.
Like a star.
Differently.
Oh, Stellar.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and Chris is with the Minnesota Independent, and I know all my audience knows how to spell Minnesota, so I'm not going to spell it out for you. Minnesota Independent. Check it out. Chris has got all the news, and he's going to be back with us next week, same time, same place. Aren't you, Chris?
I will do that.
Hey, thanks so much.
Look forward to it.
We'll have music next week.
Yeah, we will.
Well, Chris Stellar from Minnesota. Good to hear from him. We'll find out. Oh, yeah. Wet Farmer spikes it. Stella! Oh, you remember that movie? Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, No, I have not been drinking. You're going to think I have been here in a minute, though, if you don't already. You know my sense of humor and all, right? You do? I have figured out a health care plan. You know, we're hearing all these health care plans from all these different venues. I see Tom Daschle and Bob Dole are even moving in on it now. They've got an opinion, just like, you know, everybody's got one. And so I thought and thought and thought about this. What is the best way to solve this health care crisis once and for all? And really, I put a lot of thought into it. I did. And it came to me in the middle of the night last night, finally, that I do, in fact, have a way to fix this health care issue. And I think that the right-wingers are going to jump all over the chance to pass such a bill that I'm going to recommend. In fact, I'm sure they will. Right-wingers being what they are and who they are, I know they'll go for my suggestion for a health care plan. And here it is. When someone who doesn't have insurance gets sick, just kill them. Yeah, I mean, that's right. Strap them to the gurney, give them the old lethal injection just like they use in the prison, and they say it's painless, it's cheap, it's quick and easy and all that. I think it'll work. You see, it'll work like this. When you arrive at the emergency room, they're not going to cost too much to do this. When you arrive at the emergency room, there are going to be two doors. One with a sign on it that says, insured, enter here. And that'll have bright lights and, you know, stainless steel, beautiful white hallways and the whole thing. It'll be really nice. Have nice furniture and all that. And the other door is going to say, this door is for irresponsible, lazy, stupid people with no insurance. And that's going to be, you know, dirty and who cares, you know? Because everybody knows that the 47 million people in this country that don't have insurance are a bunch of no-good, lazy bums, right? Never work, don't give a damn about anything. That's what we're told, pretty much. And to go on a little further with my plan, they could have like a crematorium out back, and they could cremate the body as well. Yeah, they could. And they could do it quickly, so that you go to the emergency room. Now hear me. You go to the emergency room with a bad case of flu or a broken foot or some sort of an anxiety attack, and you come out of the back door in the mason jar. And this whole thing wouldn't cost more than just a few $100. I mean, this is genius. Stop and think about it. No muss, no fuss, no pain, no suffering. And instead of thousands of dollars being spent, you get the whole thing done for a nominal fee. And you know what? I'll bet you the right-wingers would agree to having a government program like this, and they would agree to pay for it. You know they would. Think about it. Everyone would be well. There'd be no long recovery periods and follow-up doctor's appointments to pay for. There wouldn't be any sick people. Wouldn't be any sick people hanging around and making the rest of us sick. We wouldn't have to send get-well cards and make visits to the hospital to visit these people. I mean, that's a good thing. I don't know why I didn't think of this before. I mean, it's a win-win for everyone. It'll solve the unemployment problem because if you work for someone who didn't provide health care coverage and you got sick or hurt and you went to the emergency room and, well, you know, got the treatment, then there'd be a job opening for someone else. I think the whole damn economy would recover very shortly because of this program. And I know a lot of you saw the movie Soylent Green, right? Well, there's a modern-day version of that. And the important point is that, and I'm sure we could get 100% of the Republicans on the Hill to vote for this. You get all of the Republicans, and you add in the Blue Dog Democrats and a few of them from this new Democratic coalition, and bam, you got yourself a winner there. What do you think? I think it'll work. Honestly, I do. 866-546-5254 if you want to give us a call. We'll see whether or not we have anybody else that'll co-sponsor my bill. I don't know what we're going to call it yet. I just get somebody to, you know. 866-546-5254. I see the Congress critters had the big shot health insurers in front of the committee yesterday. And ask them about this rescission, which they just cutting people off left and right. They said they have no intentions of stopping it. Isn't that something? No, we're going to keep throwing people out. If we find out any way, shape, or form we can get them off of our rolls after they've become insured, why, we're going to continue to do it. And they said so loud and long yesterday. Don't know what's happening here. Keep getting a phone call that keeps... Don't know. Anyway, let's head out for just a minute, and we'll be right back.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Following the recent elections in Iran, Fox News' Sean Hannity claims that President Obama, quote, refuses to support Iranian democracy because he doesn't want to upset Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who he calls Adolf Jr.
And the outrage is now starting to build over the White House's refusal to support Iranian democracy. In other words, we don't want to go out on a limb and get in trouble and take the wrong side of this. We don't want to make Adolf Jr. mad.
But if that wasn't bad enough, today's most outrageous comment goes to conservative leader Rush Limbaugh, who offered his advice to bankrupt American cities.
Now I'm sort of looking at bulldozing these cities as bankruptcy. They should have been let go long ago.
Every damn one of these cities is a blue city, I'll guarantee you, meaning mostly Democrats. So you bulldoze it, and you disperse a bunch of Obama voters. It has great political future ramifications for the Republicans.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org. This is...
Found myself today singing out like your name. You said I'm crazy. If I am, I'm crazy for you. Sometimes sitting in the dark, wishing you were here, turns me crazy. But it's true, it makes me lose my head. And every time I'm meant to be, acting sensible, you drift into my head and turn me into a crumbling fool. Tell me to run and I'll if you want me to stop, I'll freeze. And if you want me, gonna leave. Just hold me closer, baby. Maybe.
Back to the Guy James Show. Good to have you along with us this afternoon. It surely is. Hey, I got a bunch of email yesterday, and I just have to answer one of them. I just have to. I normally don't get involved. Well, yeah, I do. Sometimes I don't get involved in this sort of thing, but I got this email from Greg, and he was complaining about what I said about the Minutemen and, you know, these border vigilantes. This Miss Ford that got arrested the other day for killing the father and a 9-year-old daughter. So they walked right up to the 9-year-old daughter and shot her 4 times. That's what I was talking about. And I get this angry email, said, you know, how is it you always talk about guns and, you know, you negative, negative, negative. Greg, do you know what a self-fulfilling prophecy is? It's where you believe that something's going to happen, and you act in a way to make it happen, even though it's not in your best interest to do so. Like all these crazies running around believing that Barack Obama and the Democratic Congress are going to take your guns away. So what do you do? You act in an irresponsible manner, like you totally can't handle the responsibilities of the right, you know, and the rights of gun ownership. You know, like this idiot in Pittsburgh who killed the three police officers. He was absolutely convinced that his guns, including an AK-47, were going to be confiscated by the federal government. Even though there wasn't any evidence to let that, you know, let anybody think that that was really going to happen other than the reignings of the crazy Glenn Beck and that Wayne LaPierre. Or the idiot in Binghamton, what is it, Binghamton, New York? And that guy wasn't even a U.S. citizen. And going back to the guy in Knoxville, Tennessee, who shot up a church full of Unitarians, and Dr. Tiller recently, and the poor guard at the Holocaust Museum. I know you're obsessed about gun rights, but what about the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? I know this is that it is not in the Constitution, but it is one of the deals our country holds dearly. It is a person's life less important than your right to own a gun. And what happens when your right to own a gun infringes upon another person's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? The dead can't fight for or exercise their human rights. And you say you need a gun for self-defense, but your insistence upon packing heat worries the rest of us. It does. What are you afraid of? The ACLU? Liberals, obviously. Some of them mention liberals by name. People of a different race, they've mentioned them by name. Women, children, shoplifters. I don't know. A lot of people got guns just to make up for other inadequacies they have, especially men. So if you insist, and we were talking about these Minutemen, what he was badgering me about. If you insist upon being a vigilante, how do we know you know what you're doing? How much training have you had? Do you know the maximum effective range of a 9mm Beretta pistol? Can you hit the side of a barn if you fire a 9mm pistol 10 feet away from it? Can you throw a 9mm pistol that far? You know, so I guess the point I was trying to get at here, you do realize that when you own a gun, you have the responsibility to ensure that you don't use it to commit a crime. And if the mass shootings continue, and we've gotten a long record of them right now, then it's obvious that Americans can't handle the responsibilities of Second Amendment rights, and the Second Amendment will have to be changed in some way, just like the Prohibition was repealed with a constitutional amendment. Folks, it's getting out of hand. It is getting out of hand. We've heard it over and over and over again this year. We know these militias are getting ready for whatever it is their crazy little brains think they need to get ready for. There are hate groups all over the place. We even have them here where I live. And it's frightening. I think it's very frightening. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel very strongly about it that something has to be done. And I don't think we need every Tom, Dick, and Harry walking down the street packing heat. You can do that in Florida. You can do it in Texas. When we come back after the top of the hour, after the news, we're going to talk a little bit about the situation going on in Iran. A lot to talk about there. We haven't covered it very much this week. To be honest with you, I thought that the whole thing would be quelled by now. I really did. And I was wrong. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. I wish them well. I think, and we'll discuss this in the second hour of the program, I think our President Obama is doing exactly the right thing, handling it just right, although the Republicans think we ought to bomb Iran. Yeah. So that could very well have been the case if Mr. McCain had been the President of the United States. Kind of scares me. kind of scares me. Hey, we're going to pause for news coming up at the top of the hour. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be back right after the news. Don't you go away. You're listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Workers rallied Wednesday at New York City Hall to protest the layoffs of 2,600 school employees. Gwendolyn Burton is an AFSCME member who works with at-risk youth at Passages Academy in the Bronx.
We have to stop this. They're hiring private contractors to do jobs that we can do. That's why we're going to get laid off. That's why they're trying to lay us off for jobs that we can do that they're paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars to people from outside the city, from outside our neighborhood. We know our neighborhood. We know our children. We should be here.
Boston Newspaper Guild President Dan Totten says he's optimistic about reaching a labor agreement over wage cuts at the Boston Globe. The talks this week have reportedly focused on how to reduce the 23% wage cut imposed on Guild members after the union narrowly rejected concessions. Lawyers for the new National Union of Healthcare Workers filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board Wednesday against the SEIU over a loan from Bank of America. The NUHW says federal labor law bars loans between employers and unions attempting to organize their employees. SEIU and the NUHW are locked in a struggle over representation of tens of thousands of California healthcare workers. The SEIU International took over one of its locals, United Healthcare Workers West, ousted leaders of that local, then formed the NUHW. SEIU's Michelle Ringette denies any wrongdoing in the union's loan with Bank of America.
There is absolutely no relationship or quid pro quo between Bank of America and SEIU. In fact, I'm thinking we're probably not their favorite people right now since we've been really leading the charge, pointing out their bad practices, and the SEIU Master Trust actually led to Ken Lewis, the CEO of Bank of America, being removed.
A couple of years ago, the blue-collar band ETX wrote a song out of the frustration surrounding the offshoring of jobs and closing of plants in the U.S. As Jesse Russell reports, the band is back with a new effort.
Now the band is back with a new push for their track, Mad in America. The group has produced a video for the song, and frontman Steve Doobie explains why.
We wanted to paint the picture, not only musically, but we also wanted people to see the effects of it, to see what has happened with all these plant closings and how it affects people's lives every day. All these jobs are moving offshore, and they're not coming back here.
Doobie has posted the video on YouTube, where users can embed the video on their own websites and blogs. The band recorded a new version of the song for a new album they are putting out this year. Doobie said even though the song was written during the Bush administration, the message hasn't changed.
The trend certainly hasn't stopped. We're still moving jobs offshore. And we were told back in, what, the 70s and the 80s, the United States is going to prepare to become a service economy. And now they're moving service jobs offshore. So what's left?
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Back, everybody. Yes, I am Guy James, and you are you, and we are we, and all that. Thanks for joining us this afternoon here on the Guy James Show. As promised, we're going to talk about Iran here coming up, and let's just go to that. We have our guest, Nathan Gonzalez. He's one of the Truman Project fellows, and I'm going to give him a call right now. Let's see if we can get him on the line here. We should be hooking
Hello.
Up here. Hello, Nathan.
Hi, how are you?
This is Guy James from the Guy James Show once again. We are live on the air right now, and you are with the Truman National Security Project, are you not?
That's correct.
One of the a fellow as the with the Truman National Security Project, and our friend Frankie Strum had me get a hold of you today. We did want to talk about Iran in the second part of the hour today, and you wrote a book, Engaging Iran, The Rise of a Middle East Powerhouse and America's Strategic Choice. Where is this all heading this week? We've seen it nonstop on the news all week this week. How far is this going to go? Is it going to be quelled finally, or do you think maybe a little bit of democracy might spill over into this somehow?
Well, I think things are going to get fairly dramatic pretty soon, I believe. I've looked at movements in Iran for the last 150 years plus, and there seems to be a pattern that whenever the government cracks down too hard, the people sort of join solidarity and the coalitions against the government only get stronger. And so the supreme leader of Iran, the person who holds really the power in the country, really has some tough choices ahead of them. And I believe the choices are as following. Either A, he calls for a new election and restores whatever legitimacy was lost in this process of stealing the election, which is what happened, or B, there's going to be a revolution. And I really think it's that clear cut at the moment.
A revolution, and where will the mullahs be in all this? Will they their power be thrown out the window as well?
Well, I think that we have to remember that Iran is a theocracy, but within the religious community, there are a lot of rifts. So it's not like all of the mullahs or all of the ayatollahs out there, the sort of religious leaders of Iran, support what is going on. You have some more liberal clerics, like Ayatollah Sana'i, who proclaimed the election invalid recently for a fatwa. You also have Ayatollah Muntaziri, who was an early supporter of the revolution, who has now sort of called on, who became sort of, had a rift with Ayatollah Khomeini earlier on and was put under house arrest for many years. And he has gone out and said that any of the militias, the pro-government militias who hurt people, will have to answer to God. Sort of a real sort of wake-up call saying, don't be harsh on the protesters or else. And so we are seeing those rifts happen. Over the years, also, the Islamic Republic has lost the support of a lot of their base, their traditional base, mainly the merchants from the bazaar, which is a very important class in Iran in terms of mobilizing opposition. They've been involved in every major uprising for the last 150, 200 years in Iran. And so we really are seeing this fragile position that the Islamic Republic is in right now, and a gamble that Khamenei, the supreme leader, took in stealing this election and taking away whatever semblance of legitimacy the system had, at least with large segments of the population. So we could very well see that in a year from now, we'll either have Mousavi be the president, or we'll have the system unraveling because it no longer makes sense for people to follow it.
Does Barack Obama have it right about Mousavi and Ahmadinejad being basically the same in their political ideology?
Yes and no. I mean, I think what I'm reading from his comments, and that's my personal opinion, is that he's really trying to not be too enthusiastically involved in what is happening in Iran. And I think that comment was one way of sort of distancing himself from the debate a little bit. It is true that Mousavi is sort of a traditional member of the elite in Iran, as was former President Mohammad Khatami in the 90s and early 2000s. So, we have to remember, for a presidential candidate to be able to run for office, they have to be vetted by the highest clerical authorities in Iran. So it's not like you could have a real radical or a real rabble-rouser involved. But what I think we should remember is that these reformist candidates like Mousavi and like Khatami before him are a vehicle for people to express their discontent with the regime. So even though his positions may not be completely radical, he does provide an avenue for people to stand up and say, we want to be heard, by voting for him.
Well, does President Obama, do you think he's handling this right? You know, we have Republicans, Mike Pence and some other ones putting heat on him now, John McCain, that we ought to get involved in this. And what do you think of the president's actions so far?
I think he's handling it just right. I think he obviously has some very competent people advising him on this. I don't understand what exactly John McCain is trying to get at. I understand the impulse to criticize whoever is in power, being the loyal opposition, if you will. I really don't know, what he thinks the President of the United States would gain from, labeling, essentially, the protesters in Iran who are risking their lives, to label them as agents of a foreign power, doing the bidding for America. It's really the opposite thing of what we should be doing, and leading reformists have been telling us for years. People who have stuck their neck out, sacrificing their lives for change in Iran, they've told us, number one, we want democracy. Number two, stay out of our business.
Well, I was thinking about this. I had something strange happen many, many years ago. I was in Columbus, Ohio. You might think this is a crazy analogy, but I was in Columbus, Ohio, and I was driving down the street one evening, and I saw, turned out to be a husband and wife having a domestic dispute right there in the street. And the guy was beating on the woman, and she was hanging onto a telephone pole, and it was an ugly, ugly scene. So I got out of the car. I went over, and I stopped this guy from doing this. And don't you know, in about 60 seconds, I had both of them after me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that's kind of maybe what we might face in Iran if we got involved in this.
Absolutely, but let me just say that I think you did the right thing for stopping that, regardless of the outcome. But in terms of international relations, I think the difference is that we have interests in the Middle East, and unfortunately, because of the last 8 years of the Bush administration, we have sort of aligned our interests with Iran, both in Iraq and Afghanistan. So even if there's this horrible crackdown and the reformists lose completely, and I don't believe that's going to happen, but even if you have the status quo ante return, we are going to have to deal with those people regardless. So it's in our interest to sort of step back and let Iranians decide their own fate. And we have to, for the sake of our troops' safety, our people in Iraq and Afghanistan, we need to deal with whatever government Iran ends up with at the end of the day.
Well, I hope that can be worked out. I don't know where this is all going right now, whether it'll all settle down soon or lead to a revolution. If I had to bet, I wouldn't know how to bet on this. I really wouldn't. I haven't seen anything in the last couple of hours. Of course, it's what, in the middle of the night over there right now, and the clerics are going to meet on Saturday. Is that not right? And decide what to do.
Yeah, they're going to meet with the candidates and sort of try to find some kind of compromise. I think they realize that this is that they've put themselves in a bind here. And I think that the smart thing would be for them to backtrack a little bit, to call for new elections would be the best thing to do. Because, I mean, even a recount is something that can't be verified correctly because votes weren't even counted in the first place. And so you have this a question of whether ballots were destroyed in the meantime, et cetera. And so the real thing, right now the Supreme Leader can really avert the crisis if he takes the bold move of stepping back. It's going to hurt his credibility if he does, but it can hurt him a lot more if he doesn't, I believe. And, you know, somebody asked me, well, how do you know this feels like a revolution or whatever? You know, what I said is like revolutions in Iran are like child pornography. You know it when you see it. And I think we're seeing this right now. And the last revolution took over a year to take effect. We're just having a few days right now that we've been dealing with this. This could very well escalate over the next year.
My, oh, my. So we're going to have a lot more news out of Iran for some time to come, in your opinion. Well,
I believe.
We shall follow it, and we shall see. Nathan Gonzalez, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Nathan is, once again, a Truman Fellow at the Truman National Security Project, and we want to thank you very much for being with us today. The website at the Truman National Security Project, do you have that handy?
I don't, but I can email it to you.
Okay, I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, it's the TrumanProject.org. All right, I found it. Nathan, I want to thank you very much for sharing your expertise on this, and we'll reserve the right to have you back on in the future.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks much. Nathan Gonzalez from the Truman Project. We met the folks from the Truman National Security Project, Bob and I, when we were in Washington here recently, and it was very, very interesting to meet these folks. They have a lot of guests available on international subjects and all. Yeah, that really did happen to me, and I really am thinking that it's a good analogy. I did see that happening when I was way, way back and many years ago, and all of a sudden had both of them against me. And I think if we got involved right now, we might...
Virus database has been up.
Against us, leave us alone. We'll settle out our own problems, which I wish Uncle Sam would think seriously about in the future. We need to let people settle their own problems sometime. We wouldn't appreciate it if somebody came over here and got involved in our affairs. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute or two.
Well, I get a medal every time we meet. I get a medal even in my
welcome back. You're listening to the Guy James Show here in the Hit on Radio Network. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. It's a little bit of a cloudy afternoon over where I'm at here in South Florida today. But nonetheless, quite warm today, quite warm. Did you see those crazy protesters outside of CBS yesterday for Dave? I got a little audio of those guys. I'm going to play it right now. You love this if you haven't seen them already. What a motley crew. Fire Dave.
Everyone in the country is very, very frustrated and upset that he was allowed to make a rape joke about a little girl, 14 years old, sitting on the sidelines, watching, of all things,
everyone's upset.
He made Alex A-Rod a pervert, too, by saying that he knocked up a 14-year-old girl.
Oh, I thought she was 18.
He's too old to be on that damn show anyway. He's not even funny. He's a jerk.
I think he stinks. I'm a Jay Leno fan.
Well, I like Jay Leno. Leno is a class act. I've watched him off and on through the years. At least Jay Leno had interesting people. This schmuck has nobody. You know what schmuck means in Jewish?
How do you feel about Jay Leno? I don't watch, I only watch Fox News Channel.
They were fascists, they were communists. They were
terrorists. Should we talk about his son? I believe his son was born out of wedlock. I believe there is a term for that. Is someone making jokes about his child? Especially, you know, when he had a daughter out of wedlock himself.
Oh.
How dare he? When he has a bastard son and a slut for a wife.
Socialism is evil. Socialism is evil.
Where were you guys?
You think you're so smart. You think you know so much.
Close the borders. Close everything down for 20 years. Clean your house, and you'll see how this economy will come back.
Keep children safe from David Letterman's mouth. He will rape them with his mouth. He is a child abuser. He is a verbal pedophile. Wake up. Call and take care of your kids. They could be next.
Oh, God. Dave's after your kids. I didn't know that. Dave's after your kids. Oh, man. All right. I understand being people upset with the joke he told. I get that. I do. I wouldn't like it with my daughter and all that sort of thing. I wouldn't like it at all. But come on, people. Come on. What a group of loonies that was out in front of the CBS studios there. And wow. Nice group of folks. Oh, we have somebody calling. Hung up already. All right. Somebody is suggesting they have some Paxil there in New York. Oh, my. Let's see who we've got on the phone right now. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Hi, Kevin.
We got all 10 people, actually 10 New Yorkers to support Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Is that CGI trick that the Republicans are using again?
I thought you would be down there breaking up that horrible, huge...
Why should I?
Nah, it was good.
They probably got them from Jersey and Long Island in one or two Republican enclaves anyway.
Yeah.
Those people seem to have enough time on their hands to do this. Well, you know, it's strange to me how Sarah Palin refers to Alaska and the Midwest as the real America, but she awfully loves being in New York all the time.
Yeah, she's been out of state more than she's been in state, I think, since the election.
And the funny thing is, Alaska has a huge, huge cocaine and drug problem going on. I was watching this documentary, I think it was on the MSNBC, about gangster life in Anchorage and Fairbanks.
Hey, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
That's
because a lot of them get government checks, like for a couple of grand every year. Each Alaskan gets one.
Every member of the family, children and all.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I was disappointed. I looked for you in that mob out there. I thought you'd be down there trying to break it up. And
well, trust me, we don't have time to waste. It was rather funny. You saw all those two guys kind of like fake kissing one another in the background.
That was a good time. That was a good time. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. You know, we really don't have time. You know, it's like, to me, Sarah Palin represents everything, the reason why, with very few exceptions, anything west of the Hudson lacks a lot of intelligent life.
Well, yeah, and...
You know, I'm trying my best. You know, I really am.
I know. But, Sarah's good for comedy. She's good for that.
You know, granted, what David Letterman said was stupid.
Yeah.
It was stupid, because there's enough on Sarah alone to make fun of without involving her.
That's right. The gal on Saturday Night Live got rave reviews, and Dave's joke wasn't funny.
Yeah. You know, and you know she's going to try and capitalize on what she did. You know, turn a 30-second story into, you know, a one-day story, which is what she's good for.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether to hope she goes away or not.
She's not.
She's good for a laugh. And yet I can't stand her. I don't know. Now and then it's funny though. You know,
it's like bad athlete's foot. It keeps on coming back. Just when you think you got rid of it, keeps on coming back. You know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She's going to hang in there. It's obvious she's got a huge ego, and she thinks she's going to go for it now. And there's just enough crazies to go along with her.
Well, the thing is, she's going to have to totally embarrass herself. And the truth be told, I don't think she's already done it, but she's not afraid to be embarrassed.
Well, that's true.
She's really not afraid to be embarrassed, and that's what amazes me. But, you know, I don't know. I really don't know, but... I've been through a lot of this country in the past few years, and I began to question the intelligence.
Ever since I got old enough to vote, I've questioned intelligence. I do wonder. I read a big article on that recently, and I think it's absolutely true that I'm sorry. I mean, I live in this country, and it makes me ashamed to say it, but we've got a good deal of the population that really, truly doesn't have enough sense to get in and out of the rain.
Yeah. You know, it's like, and it's strange. You know, New York has a large, you know, foreign population. You know, I would say almost half of the city isn't born in this country. And they often have to, you know... They often ask, what is it about America? I have a friend who came here from India, and she's like, she's amazed. And the answer is, hello? The answer is basically, we're going to have to go with empty stomachs for a couple of years to put some sense in our head.
You know, and it's looking more and more to me like it's going to come to that as well. I don't think, I don't see the signs that some people are seeing. I live outside the Beltway, so I'll take what I see as evidence instead of what the economists are telling us right now. I don't see this.
In Florida, they're robbing supermarkets and not for the cash.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
For food.
Yeah, absolutely. We are in for a big old L-shaped recession, and that's exactly going to be the shape of it for a while.
Yeah, you know, I have friends. As you know, I'm a former Florida resident, and I was talking to somebody a week ago, and you know they robbed the Publix in their county.
Yeah, it's
and it's stuff that you know I think the local press is trying to keep down, but when they start robbing grocery markets for the food, you know stuff is bad.
Oh, we're having a ton of home invasions just right around here. Lots and lots of home invasions.
And like 5-minute drive from where I used to live, you know, they had a huge Klan rally. And that was kept down low.
Hmm. Oh, man.
And they found like tens of thousands of bullet casings.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Hey, Kevin, good to hear from you this afternoon. Hope all is well.
Good to hear from you.
Hope all is well in the city.
Yeah, it's raining like cats and dogs, but, you know, all is always well, you know. Yeah. It's always well here.
Well, you take care, and if you see any more massive demonstrations like it down in front of Dave's there on that's 7th Avenue, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, well, 10 people is very massive.
Last time I was in New York, I stayed like a block away from there. And I love that area right through there. It's just close to the park, close to Carnegie Hall, close to 5th Avenue, close to everything right through there.
The
shows.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling. Make me wish I'm in New York right now. I do enjoy it. I've always said I'm a country boy. I wouldn't want to live there, but I would enjoy visiting about 10 times a year for a few days. I like the flavor of the city. I do. Good to hear from you, Kevin.
I'm the direct opposite. Okay, brother. Talk to you soon.
Kevin from Brooklyn, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join us here on the Guy James Show this afternoon. I know. Somebody sent me this, and I've just got to play this. Somebody sent me this. We're always talking about these crazy right-wingers and your Ted Haggards and your Jimmy Swaggarts and Pat Robertsons and these great evangelicals that are around the country begging for, you know. Anyway, send me this preacher clip that I've just got to play for you. You're going to like this, I bet you. Here we go. I bet you.
Now, I personally believe that Satan does work through inanimate objects like a Ouija board or a crystal ball or tarot cards. And that's my question today, is if Satan can work through inanimate objects like a Ouija board, why can't he work through something about 12 inches round, has grooves on it, and goes round and round on the turntable if, in fact, it's been dedicated to Satan? Stevie Nicks is a witch. She is a known practicing witch. All of a sudden, this group Berlin came out to perform. She says, the group Berlin came out to perform. She said, all of a sudden, I could feel 100% evil come over me. On Kenny Loggins' album, you'll see that he, too, has the crystal ball in his hand. Michael J. Fox, standing on the front of the Rolling Stone album, on the Rolling Stone magazine, you'll see that he, too, is looking into the crystal ball. And all of a sudden, the table started to lift off the ground. Well, I say, la-da-da-da-da, the devil could lift a table. I could lift a table, and she wasn't impressed with me. I mean, honestly, folks, if all my God could do is lift a table, I'd go out and buy a moving van, and we'd go into business, God and my moving van service. My God doesn't say, oh, my, I better go out and buy, lift me a table somewhere and impress me a teenager. They tell me that if you serve Jesus Christ, you'll do strange things, like you won't beat your wife anymore. They say, if you become a Christian, you won't get drunk and come home and slap your children around. You see, there are 2 million children missing in America today. Kill these children and offer them as human sacrifices. Put a knife into that child. Satan is Lord. And all of a sudden, a hot fire exploded and tar flew all over me. They took me to the hospital. As I lay in that hospital, I said, dear God, if this is what hell is going to be like, I never want to go to that place. That night, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and I'm never going to have to burn again. Well, that was the greatest thing ever could happen to that guy, is that his body could be burnt, that his soul could be saved. You know how I know that Jesus is God? Buddha's not God. Muhammad's not God. You know how I can prove that Jesus is God? Have you ever seen somebody working on a fence and take a hammer and hit their thumb and go, ah, Buddha? Ever seen them do that? Nah. How many hit a golf ball like I hit a golf ball and they go, oh, Muhammad? Why do they call that name? You know what they do? They go, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Why do they call that name? You know why? Because I believe when a person gets hurt or angry, they want to blame who? They want to blame God. And they call his name Jesus Christ. It's J-E-S-U-S or D-E-V-I-E. D-E-V-I-L.
Ah, I hear the angelic horns playing. Now, there was your... There was your average right-winger evangelical right there. somebody sent me that, and I just had to play it. Guy's a real piece of work. If you'd like to join us on the program, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Or if you want to call in your nickel, 304-574-7813. 304-574-7813. And we do have lines open right now. I know some people got bored yesterday with the press conference we did. We'd made a commitment to do that press conference, and although it's some things I think everybody ought to know, I know some of you let me know that it was boring for you. Well, we try and have a three-ring circus on here every day, but we don't quite get to it, I guess. Where did I want? Oh, I know what it was. We were talking about Republican hatred. And it is, well, it's out there right now. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you, most of what we've heard lately coming from a lot of them has been pretty ugly. And we have to look at some incidents that have happened lately, like last week, an aide to the South Carolina Attorney General, Henry McMaster, posted a humorous news item about a gorilla escaping from the zoo in Columbia. He said, "I'm just sure it's one of Michelle's ancestors, probably harmless. Isn't he charming?" And just after that, a low-level functionary in a South Carolina GOP saw fit to tweet the following. He said, I just heard Obama's going to put a 40% tax on aspirin. Why? Because it's white and it works. And then we have the Tennessee State Senator aide sending out the Twitter and email with the photo of all of our 44 presidents and where Barack Obama would have been, just nothing but a couple of eyes. Racism is alive and well in the South. It's alive and well a lot of places. I don't want to just pin it on the South. It's a really ugly thing, and yet it's rearing its ugly head more than I have seen in quite a few years. And I think you'll have to admit that hatred and racism is up. Remember all during the election, Barack the Magic Negro and got the California mayor who sent out the White House watermelon garden email from his government email account. It's getting uglier and uglier. The Southern California GOP group sent out a mailer in the style of a food stamp bearing the image of the president, along with watermelons and ribs and fried chicken and Kool-Aid. You know, all of us have some sort of a immigrant background. Mine happens to be English. My family came over here in 1685 and settled in eastern Virginia, just not very far south of where Dulles Airport is right now. In fact, part of their land was where part of Dulles Airport is right now. And gradually moved west and ended up in Ohio and Illinois and Nebraska. Dave, for your information, I don't know why your call isn't coming through. Everybody else's calls have been able to come through today. I don't know why yours isn't. Don't know the answer for that. I have my apologies. I'll have to look into that. We have our engineering staff off today, so we can't keep track of all the things we wanted to. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah. next to mine.
Listen to the Guy James Show here on a Thursday. That's actually a Friday for me. Yeah. Thursday's our last day of the week here on the show, and we'll be back again next Tuesday, of course. Don't forget Bob coming up at 6 o'clock this evening, 6 to 9, and Bob will have plenty to say for certain. He always does. What a guy. How many of you know Bob? He is a terrific guy, he really is. He's a person you can sit down and with and be fast friends, let me tell you. Bob's a real delight to be around. And, boy, he can pack away the beef, too, let me tell you. You've heard enough about that. I shouldn't have brought it up because it just makes me hungry. Fogo de Cho. If you're any place where there is one of those places, God, I think I'm going to have to drive to Miami tonight just to eat at that place. It's only about an hour and a half from Miami to here. Really to Fort Lauderdale. So I should say it's about 2 hours to Miami if you want to go downtown. They go across Alligator Alley and see all the gators out. There are lots of gators on Alligator Alley. You just got to know where to look for them. Over around mile marker number 86. Yeah. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program. 866-546-5254. Where was I with this thing here? All right. I do think that Barack Obama is doing the right thing in hopefully not meddling in Iran. We never know, do we? We find out after the fact that the CIA was heavily involved when the Shah was there. We citizens, of course, we're too stupid to know anything, but we didn't know anything about what happened with the Shah. We didn't know that our government was propping this guy up and helping him brutalize the people of Iran, which probably to our everlasting shame will make our lives difficult in dealing with the Iran. Oh, there's that phone ring one time again. Don't know what that is. One time. And then it stops. Don't get it. I assume that's David calling. And David, if that is you calling, I don't know what number you're calling, the 866-546-5254. Try to, please, if you will, the 304-574-7813 number. We'll see whether it's the Vonage phone line or the electronic phone, one or the other, if you will, please. Trying to diagnose this. All right. That's what I get for letting staff off today. You know, they're highly paid staff, and they're very dedicated, and they work here under the hot lights and running the board and all that. It's just so it's good to let them have a weekend off now and then. I kid. I think I mentioned yesterday. I'm not sure if I did. Can't remember yesterday sometimes. Are you getting that way? As somebody in the studio. Of course, we have the official Guy James Show studio puppies here, Kukla and Sophie, today. They have always got to be close by. The British Airways asked their employees to work for free. Work for free. Gave them a choice. They can... That's right, the F-22 aircraft, by taking money away from an environmental restoration program. How does this happen? I don't know how this happens. They take money away from the environmental restoration program for the F-22, and this comes several months after Secretary of Defense Gates rejected. This is the Secretary of Defense rejected a significant increase in funding for the program, and this measure passed with both GOP and Democratic votes. And you got to love this quote from Utah Congressman Rob Bishop. Said, "There is no study or analysis we've been able to see at the committee in support of Secretary Gates' assertion that 187 aircraft is sufficient to meet future air threats to our homeland a decade from now." F-22 fighter planes, a decade from now. Who is it that's going to threaten our homeland where fighter planes might do any good? Anybody want to, what is it going to be, Mexico or Canada? There's always the common sense analysis, but I suppose that's too much to ask for. Putting aside the fact that no country has a fighter aircraft that can even compete with the F-22, and the homeland has not been attacked by a military aircraft since Pearl Harbor, and that it defies basic common sense to argue that any country would willingly engage in such a suicide mission, that 187 F-22s would probably go a long way toward protecting the U.S. homeland, and that the F-22 has never actually been flown in combat, well, then I suppose Bishop's got a point. Here we have the Secretary of Defense saying they don't need these planes, and we've got a congressman saying we do, and we got his buddies helping him push them through. Now, that is one of those backroom deals. You know it is. Anybody with any sense knows that Secretary Gates is right on this. Everybody knows that Secretary Gates is right on this. There's nobody going to attack us. No one has the capability of attacking us where any fighter planes would do us any good. And what is it all about? Well, you only have to look at the Salt Lake City Tribune, the Salt Lake Tribune, to find out what this is all about. Screw the environment. The money for these came from an environmental restoration program. I transferred the money over to get more of these, 187 more of these F-22 fighters. Not 100, not that many more. 12 more. At the request of Representative Rob Bishop, they shifted the money, and it's a defeat for the Obama administration and a win for the workers at Hill Air Force Base. That's coming from the Salt Lake Tribune. In other words, they won it by a single vote and passed an amendment that shifts $369 million to hold off on plans to shutter the F-22 production. It's all about him taking some pork home to his people to build five more of these F-22 planes that we don't even need in the first place. Fascinating. Just fascinating that these guys get away with this. That is what Washington, D.C. is all about. That is all that it's about. I have become so cynical, and I hate it that I am. I really do, because I do want to look at that shining city on a hill and see it for something other than what it is right now, for what it really is. And it's a beautiful thing to look at. The history there is wonderful, but when it comes down to it, it's a cesspool. It is a cesspool. Deals like this. $369 million. You talk about pork. There was money spent right there, and the money taken away from an environmental program to buy more of these fighter jets, that this guy made a deal with other congressmen to go along with him, because the congressmen all know damn well. They know damn well we don't need more of those planes. I don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, I do understand it, but I just hate the fact that, I mean, he brought home a whole bunch more pork. And here we are talking about whether or not that we can afford a health care program that will benefit almost everybody, that will benefit at least $47 million. You tell me, okay, they're going to build 12 more of those goddamn fighter planes in Utah that we don't need in the first place to provide a few jobs or keep a few jobs in Utah, when this health care program is something that we can use that will help 47 million people that don't have any health care. If we would come up with a proper health care bill, which I doubt that we do at all. We're going to end up with some piece of crap legislation that's going to be slammed through. It's going to be a compromise. It's going to be in favor of the insurance industry. You can count on it. And the healthcare people. That's who it's going to be in favor of. This healthcare plan will not be something that's going to, that favors the people of the United States, most especially the people that really need it. But it's okay to buy 12 more of these damn fighter planes, which we don't need, have not been proven. That's fine, but we can't afford health care. We can afford anything the Pentagon wants, the military-industrial complex in Washington, D.C. Anything they ask for, they get. And if they don't even ask for it, in this case, the money's spent. I am so sick of companies like General Dynamics and Bechtel and Halliburton and KBR and USA Environmental and Skylink and Siemens and one company after another robbing this country. Just robbing the people of this country. It bothers me to no end when we talk about we can't get health care, and we are going to end up with some piece of crap legislation. I'm absolutely convinced. I don't want to throw cold water on everybody's hopes for that, but I have to be honest with you. I don't have a lot of hope for any meaningful health care. Oh, we'll get some kind of a health care bill. We'll get something that'll, you know, they'll be able to, yeah, we tried. You know, your Congress, we fought for you. I went in there, I went to Washington, and I fought for you. I tried to get you the health care that you need. But we'll get it, don't worry. Someday we'll get it.
Yeah. How long we've been talking about that now? A couple of decades. Not going to happen. Not as long as deals like this are made to buy more fighter planes. The old saying of guns are butter. Guns are butter. In this case, we'll throw the health care in there. Just don't think we're going to get a meaningful health care program. I really don't. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Guy James Show this afternoon. Really appreciate you listening. I would like to remind everybody that this is a listener-supported program, and we could certainly use